Welcome, everyone, to the Regional Speaker Trainer Call. This is Cheryl Lee Davis, and we are excited to have each of you on this call as we learn of the new things that are happening at Stonecroft. And so it's my privilege to introduce Jan Mathers, Stonecroft Speaker Consultant and National Board Member, along with her team of women who have really worked hard this year to get us prepared regarding our speaker ministry. So thank you, Jan, and take it away.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl, and thank all of you for joining this call. We appreciate it so much. Like I said, it has been a long time since we've had one of these calls, and I have really missed connecting with you. But in the meantime, I want you to know we have not been idle. Much work has been going on to make the women's connection groups across our country and around the world stronger and more plentiful and especially more effective in reaching women for Jesus Christ. And a task force was appointed to take a closer look at the speaker aspect of the ministry. And that task force has spent much time in prayer and in discussion over how we can strengthen our speakers, strengthen their presentations, as well as strengthen their connection with the groups where they are invited to speak. I'd like to start by introducing the task force with you. We have Vera Velk. She is a Stonecroft Speaker Consultant as well as a Stonecroft Speaker. She lives in Colorado. We have Pam Schramm, who is a Regional Speaker Trainer and a Stonecroft Speaker. She lives in Nevada. And we have Karen Blankenship, who is a Stonecroft Speaker from Missouri. And unfortunately, Karen is not able to be with us on this call today because she's in Montana right now on a speaking circuit. And right at this moment, she's speaking at one of my all-time favorite Stonecroft groups ever, which is in Eureka, Montana, a little tiny town on the border of Canada that has an incredible vision for outreach. And then there's me, Jan Mathers. I'm a Stonecroft Speaker Consultant from Oregon. Okay, so let's get on to the good stuff. Today we're going to be going over some of the key recommendations of the task force that we will begin implementing immediately into your training and into your training of your speakers. And there's going to be time afterwards for questions and answers, so jot down any questions that come to your mind while we're talking, and then we'll try to address those at the end of this call. Pam, if it's okay with you, I think we'll let you get us started.
Okay. Well, hello, everyone. It's just so exciting to, first of all, be on this call and be involved in this wonderful ministry. And also, just tell you that we're now encouraged to train speakers to keep their talks updated and relevant by using recent examples of God working in their lives by switching out anecdotes. And according to the dictionary, a short and amusing or interesting story about a real incident or person is the definition. Now, the following thought, I think, is the key, and that is without compromising the integrity of the speaker's approved talk. And yes, you're right, it will require a level of trust, but I'm very excited about it. And I know that we can pray, edit, pray, and pray some more, and God will use this abundantly.
Thank you so much, Pam. And I want to also tell you one of the things that I am very excited about is that we are going to start encouraging our speakers to connect their talks with a specific Stonecroft Bible study. We realize that speakers are in a perfect position to encourage guests to participate in a Stonecroft Bible study, because when a speaker connects with a guest through her talk, that guest is so much more likely to follow her suggestions. So that's the reason we are going to start training our speakers to recommend a specific Bible study when they go over the comment cards at the conclusion of their talk. And as you know, there are those four boxes on the comment cards, and one of them specifically addresses Stonecroft Bible studies. But in order for this to work, the speaker and the chair are going to need to be in a little more closer communication to each other when they're preparing to come to the event. So we want to start training our speakers in three different ways. First of all, if she is invited to speak in her local area, we would like to really encourage her to not only recommend a particular Bible study that relates to her talk, but to also be willing to lead that study. Now, this won't always be possible. We completely realize it. But if it's at all possible and you or your speakers are speaking in your local area, we would love for you to actually be available to lead the study you recommend. And, you know, we have some the new Bible conversations that are coming out that are just kind of introductory conversations about the Bible. These are four-week studies. They're just short, brief, great ways to introduce women to the gospel. So it wouldn't even require that much of a time commitment for our speakers if they're living right there in the area. So if that's the case, we would have her actually have signups available. And we've already tried it in some places and have had great success with women signing up for the study that the speaker has recommended. But we do know that usually a speaker is speaking out of her area. So this won't often be the case where she will actually be able to lead the study. When she's speaking out of her area, we want to start training our speakers to talk to the chair ahead of the event, actually when she's first contacted to speak. And this, of course, is going to take training with on the part of you working with your speakers as well as the chairs, and we'll be covering all of this training. But the speaker will let the chair know what Bible study she is going to be recommending, and then the chair will connect with the local Bible study leaders in that area or women to see if there's someone who would be willing to begin that recommended study immediately. And again, there will be signups available at the event so they could actually sign up right there and commit themselves to that study. I have to tell you one exciting thing that happened when we were piloting this at a place here in Oregon, actually in Central Oregon where I live, and the group was meeting for the last time. They just have not been able to get leadership, and they just decided that the Lord was leading them to close the group down for a while. But the speaker who spoke at that last event recommended a Bible study, and we had 10 women sign up for that Bible study. We were so encouraged by this because it just means that the influence of Stonecroft is alive and well in that community, even though the monthly event is currently not going on. So it's just a great way to keep women, first of all, connected with Stonecroft, but more importantly, get their roots growing down deep into God's Word. And then if there's no one available in the area where the speaker is speaking who can start her recommended study, what we're going to ask the speakers to do is chat with the chair, see what studies are currently going on in that area, and then when she goes over the comment card, she can recommend the studies that are already going on there in that area, and then we can have sign-ups that day for those recommended studies. Again, just to try to get women in the guests at the event to sign up for a Bible study. We know that the sooner a new believer begins to put her roots down into God's Word, the stronger she's going to become in her commitment to God. And by having our speakers and our chairs work together in this endeavor, we will be much more effective in getting our first-time guests and our new believers into God's Word. So we're really excited about that change. And then, Vera, do you want to tell us about the next one?
Yes, I would love to. Hello, everyone. It's so good to hear your voices. I'm pleased to tell you that within the next year, Stonecroft will implement a national speakers list. I can just about picture you all doing the wave right now. They will do this by forming a national review team for speakers. The purpose will be consistency in the quality of the speakers speaking across state lines, so talks will not need to be approved from state to state. The team will consist of the current Stonecroft speaker consultants. There are six of us, and about another 10 will be added. Some of you who do not have a speaker consultant in your region, so you may be wondering what our job description is. We pray for the regional speaker trainers. We ask regional speaker trainers to serve. Then we train them. We advise them on how to handle difficult situations and give advice on questionable manuscripts. We do speaker training workshops and work with the home office to develop training materials. Now, here's how the national list is going to work. Here's how the process will work. The RSTs will continue to vet local speakers. If a speaker wishes to speak across state lines, and not all of them will, the RST would send the speaker's manuscript that has been approved by that local RST to the home office. The assigned person at the home office would forward it to a few on the national review team. Not all 16 will be looking at the speech. Probably 3 will look at it. Assuming everything is in order, the speaker would then be placed on the national list. You may wonder why this second approval step is being implemented for women who wish to speak out of their area. Well, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, a talk that works very well in the more remote areas of the country might not be relevant in a larger city. So when a speaker is placed on the national list, the groups can be confident in booking her or him, knowing that the talk will be relevant to all the groups. And number two, it will eliminate speakers having to have their talks approved multiple times by multiple RSTs when they speak in other states. This process is wonderful. It will help avoid the awkwardness of speakers trying to promote themselves, which a number of groups find to be a red flag, but new speakers find it to be the normal way to do things. Best of all, there will be consistency nationwide and stellar quality so that the Lord Jesus Christ will continue to be uplifted and glorified in the best possible way. We want to bring many women who do not yet know Jesus into his kingdom, which will bring him the glory. And until this process is in place, please continue doing what you have been doing. Stay tuned for further announcements. Jan?
Thank you, Vera. I want to just tell you also a little bit, none of this that I'm going to tell you now has been written in stone. We're not settled on anything, but we are looking at the whole process of book approval, the book approval process by speakers. As you know, we have more and more speakers who are having books published and been approved for sale at the groups. And in many ways, this is enhancing our local events, but at the same time, it has caused a few problems. So we are looking at that whole picture. And like I said, nothing's been decided. We would love your input, and I know we've already gotten input from you on this, but just to let you know some of the things we're considering forming a new position, a new set of initials. Aren't you excited about that? This would be the Stonecroft Book Reviewer, SBR, and I don't even know if that's for sure, but so we would have a specific person in each area who would be approving books, and that would take the responsibility off of your shoulders, because I know this, it requires a lot of work, and some of you enjoy it, and some of you, it's just a headache for you. And so we're looking at forming this new position, and then we're also looking at some more guidelines around the books that will be approved. And like I said, we haven't got all of this worked out, but we'll let you know as soon as we do. One of the other suggestions, too, is that the promotion of the book would be included in the chair's introduction and not promoted by the speaker herself, to kind of avoid a feeling of self-promotion and all of that. So that's some of what we're looking at for the whole book approval process, and I would appreciate your input on that. And then finally, I'm so excited to tell you that we are in the process of writing a brand new, greatly simplified RST handbook. That should be available to you later this year, toward the end of the year, I think. It's in process now, and we're just getting it all put together, but I think you will find it to be hugely beneficial to you in your position as RST. It will have all the information you need in there. It will have all the forms that you need as an RST. They will all be reproducible. These forms will also be available online. And I think you'll be really excited when you get this handbook in your hands, because it'll be a much more manageable piece of information for you and give you all the helps you need as a regional speaker trainer. Okay, those are the highlights we wanted to talk about. I do want to also encourage you, on August 15th, which is a Monday, we're going to have a training call that will involve the speakers and the chairs and kind of the whole teamwork, and talk about all these plans as well. And so if you can join that call, I believe you probably got the information about it already from home office, but it will be August 15th, and there's a daytime call and an evening call. It's going to be at 11 my time, Pacific Daylight Time, and at 5 my time, Pacific Daylight Time. And you can figure out what time that means in your area. But anyway, okay, now we'd like to open this up for any questions you have, any thoughts, suggestions. We would just love your input. So, Cheryl, can you unmute everyone, or do they just unmute themselves by pressing star two? Star two. Okay.
Yeah,
so, if you have a question, go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, each of you can just push star 2 when you have a question, and then when you're done, if you push star 2 again, that just helps for the recording. So thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Cheryl. Any questions?
I have a comment. Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. This is Karen Langstrat from Iowa. And this is all really exciting, interesting news. A question that I have is, we have a number of speakers within each state who are not available to travel outside of state, and maybe they can only be in the local area. I'm just wondering now, we would still keep our state speaker list as we have it, or... You know, I'm hearing you say that there will be a national list, but would we still keep our state list?
Absolutely.
Do you want me to answer that?
Yes, Vera, go ahead.
What you said, Jan, yes, you'll still get, not every speaker is going to want to speak out of state. You would still
right.
keep your state list.
Okay.
None of that process changes. The national list is only for women who want to take it a step further and speak out of their area.
Okay, so that would be upon their request, not necessarily upon our recommendation.
Right.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Any other questions?
I didn't think of a question. This is Lynn from Illinois, but I wanted to say I think it's a really great idea for about the speakers promoting the Stonecroft Bible Studies, because a lot of the speakers, not all, but I know probably a good part of my list are not involved in local groups. Maybe they never even have been. And I think it would be great for them to become more familiar with the Stonecroft Bible Studies, too. So it's a win-win on both sides.
Mm-hmm. I agree, Lynn. And we, if you noticed in the essential elements that came out last year, we did promote a section of that encouraging our speakers to get involved at a local level if it's at all possible. We just feel that that only makes them stronger as a speaker and makes their heart and passion for Stonecroft stronger.
Yeah.
And hopefully this will too.
This is Barbara from Kansas, and I was wondering how to have our speakers become acquainted with the Stonecroft Bible Studies when they have not been a part of those. What would they know? What would refer specifically to their story? And how do we get that information to them? Is that another additional job that we're going to have as regional speaker trainers?
No, not at all. They can go onto our website to the Bible to the store where all the Bible studies are listed, and there's little synopses of those Bible studies under there. So they can just look at that and decide which they think would be most relevant to their talk. And, you know, the point is, you know, we're recommending a Bible study that women will get into. But no, this will not represent any work at all on the part of the RSTs. This would be strictly the speaker's responsibility. And it's a very simple matter, like I said, of just going onto our website and reading the synopses of each of the books.
And we're from Michigan. I have a question. Will the workbook Essential Elements still be relevant?
Yes, it will. And actually, we are going to a lot of this. The Bible study part is not in the Essential Elements, but in the next printing of it, it will be. So, what is not already included in there that we've talked about today will be included in the next printing of it. So, it will be absolutely relevant. Nothing about that is changing at all.
Thank you.
This is Nellie. This is Nellie Kelly from Minnesota, who is in Washington State right now. I unofficially did that a few times during my talks, and I found the chair people very cooperative, and I just think your ideas are great. No complaints.
Oh,
bye.
Thank you. We appreciate
this is Chris Bassett in Michigan. I have a question about the speakers starting Bible studies. Is there going to be, all speakers have not necessarily facilitated Bible studies before, and I'm wondering, in the past, to lead a Stonecroft Bible study, you had to be trained and approved by the regional coordinator for the Bible studies. Is this going to be something like that put in place to train speakers to lead Bible studies, or how do you want to go about that?
Well, Cheryl, you might want to address this. You might be better at addressing this than my team would. Do you want to get into that?
Sure. I have to say I'm so excited about this, many parts of our speaker enhancements, but this is one of my favorites. I admit I'm a fan of the Stonecroft Bible Studies, and I'm also a fan of speakers. So absolutely, we will make available our training to our speakers, and in fact, we can huddle up with Jan and her team to work on a conference call training that's specifically for speakers. We can actually hear it for you, because there are some elements of leading a Bible study. You know, you don't speak as much when you're leading. You're more facilitating, and, you know, there's some things like that, you know, if you've done that. So we'll do that. And in addition, though, we do have some wonderful Bible study coordinators and area reps and different women who are already trained in our Bible studies who will also naturally make themselves available, and that's fine too. But absolutely, we want those speakers to feel excited and inspired and equipped to lead that study. So.
Thanks.
Thank you, Cheryl.
This is Carolyn in Tennessee.
I've been working with a younger woman who is one of our newer speakers. She's my mentee. I'm mentoring her to take over my responsibility of RST, but I need to know the official process for who recommends her or names her. Is it my SRA, or how do we facilitate that?
Carolyn, that's funny you're asking that question, because I just sent that exact same question into Cheryl yesterday, in fact, and her, well, actually, Cheryl, I might as well let you answer that, too, because this is a question that's been coming up a lot.
And I'm sorry, Jan, I stepped away for a minute. Can you just repeat the question? I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Carolyn was asking about the process of, she has a new young woman that she's mentoring to become an RST, and she's wondering the process of who actually appoints the RSTs. And I told her we had just, I just sent that question into you yesterday so we could get a good answer.
Yes. So our Stonecroft speaker consultants are perfectly equipped to do that. While we only have 7 or 8 of them right now, they are equipped to appoint RSTs. Oftentimes, though, an SRA will identify someone that she believes is the right candidate, and so she also would have that responsibility. And then finally, our divisional field directors and myself in the home office have that responsibility. And what we're finding, we're actually working on this, ladies, as far as some of our interview process, but what we're finding is when you can meet with somebody together, so it's like the person you're interviewing and then two others, it kind of helps with just getting kind of a sense of, yeah, this is the right move. And then you just, once there's an agreement, then you just let us know in the home office by sending the information to connections@stonecroft.org. If you need me to be involved in the interviews, I'm happy to help, but typically my role will mostly be with appointing the SRAs, but of course we just want to make ourselves available. I know there are some areas where you either can't get a hold of an SSC or there's not a divisional field director hired yet and that kind of thing. So hopefully that helps.
Thank you. I've had that question about 3 times this week, so on everyone's mind, I think.
Another question I have, I know that it's a dynamic situation, but do you have plans to put it out an updated RST list nationally soon? Or is there a specific pattern for that?
Oh, Cheryl, that's probably a question for you again. So
okay.
You mean just the list of all the RSTs across the United States, an updated list of that, that's what you're asking?
Yes, it's very helpful to have that when I receive a question from another region and so on.
We can definitely provide that. We are careful with names and lists, so we'll want to make sure that everybody's in agreement. But usually most of our volunteers have made their names available for that kind of thing. So, and we've done that for other positions too, like our SRAs and that kind of thing. So you can connect. So, yeah, we can definitely work on it.
Cheryl, this is Emily, and I have been in the past the keeper of that list, but I probably have not updated it. I know I haven't updated it recently. So what I will do is send that list to either you or Jan or both of you, and then you all can take it from there and update it. How does that sound?
Yeah, that is very helpful. And then we'll pull a list on our side to make sure that our systems at Stonecroft match or fill in the gaps. So, and then we'll get that taken care of for you all. Thank you for reminding me, Emily. I was remembering that as you said it, so thank you.
You bet.
You were talking about doing a conference call with speakers for some of this training regarding the Bible study and so forth. Are we, as a state, supposed to be submitting our speaker list to you? Because I haven't been doing that.
We do receive the speaker list from people at the home office so that we can input them in the system. you know, so we have their names there. I don't know if there's another way beyond that.
And the reason it's important to send in your updated list to home office on a regular basis is so then when we do have speaker training calls, they are all being being informed of them. That's the list we use for the e-blast to notify them of upcoming training calls. So it is important to keep a copy of an updated list sent into home office.
Okay, so really all it, that you need is their email?
Well, I think what we do is just send in, what I've done is send in my entire list with all the information on it. Cheryl, is there a way you prefer that?
We receive it in a variety of forms, but an Excel spreadsheet or Word is nice. And it is nice when you have the speaker name and their address information and their email and phone number, because then that way we can actually include them on certain mailings. Like, I'll give an example. We're coming out with two times this year, a Women's Connection hard copy newsletter that's going to have tips and encouragement for all things Women's Connection, which includes Bible studies and speakers. So they would want to receive that, right? So that's why we need their name and their address, along with their email.
Anyone else?
This is Char, and I just have a question for Pam about the current anecdotes or examples that speakers will be adding into their talks. I'm assuming from what she said that regional speaker trainers will not be approving those. Is that correct? Because Pam, you said that we would be trusting the speakers on that. I just wanted clarification on that.
Right, and there are a number of things that we can bring out even on the August 15th call, but I think if we direct to the speakers and ask them to ask themselves some questions, like, is the antidote relevant to the presentation? Number two, does it point the listener to Jesus? Number three, does it stay within the time frame? And number four, am I prepared with my antidote or recent story? Excuse me. So I think if we ask them to ask themselves that question, those questions, that will clear up some of the trust issue. But more will be talked about when we have that call on the August 15th.
Thank you.
Cheryl or Dan or anyone else? Vera, do you have some input on that?
I think that's exactly right, that we'll just be training our speakers in how to switch out the anecdotes without with the integrity of the call or the talk and without detracting from the gospel. So the essence of the testimony remains absolutely the same. It's just the little anecdotes that kind of prove their point. That's what we'll be training them in, how to switch in and out.
Because if we had to approve each one, that would become overwhelming.
Right.
Right.
This just
can I ask a question?
Sorry. Yeah, sure. But this just enables the speakers to use, you know, a wonderful anecdote that just happened yesterday that shows how God is working in their life. It enables them to stay fresh and excited about their talks without having to go through all the laborious approval process. But the integrity of the talk won't change. And now I interrupted someone.
This is Lynn from Illinois again. Will the new RST handbook have guidelines for how often speakers will need to attend training? Because that's always been kind of nebulous.
Right. And all of that information will be included in there.
Can you tell me what? I've been going with 5 years, but I'm not sure if that's really accurate.
Well, what will be recommended, and this, you know, nothing, the the handbook is in draft form, so everything's changeable. But what will be recommended is that we have the RSTs will be holding a training every 1 to 2 years.
I think Lynn is asking something different.
Yes, I am. Thank you, Vera. What I'm asking is how often speakers should be retrained. How often a current speaker will be expected to refresh her training?
I am making a note of that. And we will address that in the handbook. I'm very glad you asked that question, Lynn.
Okay. Yeah, because usually I ask speakers if they would please try to make training every 5 years. And even that seems just to keep them in touch with Stonecroft's newest guidelines and to just refresh them. But it's hard to enforce when there's nobody saying you're supposed to do it.
Right. And now where we're doing a lot of training via conference calls and stuff, that kind of changes the picture too. So I will make sure that we specifically address that in the handbook.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that suggestion.
What do you think the penalty should be if a speaker refuses retraining?
Well, I think if she refuses and I'm just answering this off of the top of my head, and anyone else can step into this, if she is refusing to be retrained, I think, first of all, that tells you a little bit about what's going on in her heart. There's a very good reason that, and maybe retraining isn't the best word, maybe freshening instead of retraining. Perhaps we need to change our language there. But it is essential that speakers do agree to attend these updates or tune in on these training calls just to stay current and relevant with our ministry. So if you have a speaker that's absolutely refusing to participate, there is an issue there. And actually, if you are having, you know, speakers are supposed to sign that statement of faith and statement of agreement, and part of that agreement is that they do attend the freshening session. So if they're not holding up their end of the bargain, then it's probably time to nicely let them go.
One state indicates that if the speaker isn't attending a speaker training or like we say a refreshing, they will not be able to remain on the list.
It is a requirement.
So just for example, say there is a speaker who can't attend that training, they have a reason why they can't attend the training.
I love what Michigan did one year. I was very impressed. They sent out a notice to all the speakers that it was mandatory, and they actually used that word mandatory, and I thought there would be a rebellion, but there wasn't. Mandatory that they attend the fall speaker conference training time. I had one longtime speaker tell me that she, when she saw that word mandatory, she thought she better rearrange her schedule. So they all came, and the purpose was getting on the same page as to the direction Stonecroft was going. And it was very effective. And I'm sure they made accommodations for a few people that wanted to, but circumstances prevented them from coming. But they actually used that word mandatory.
And the way I've handled it, again, this is Lynn, is I just, if they aren't able to, I've gone and done one-on-one or one-on-two training with just a few speakers. And a couple of times it worked out that a couple, they brought some new people, so we had a whole speaker workshop. So it just worked out good. It works out good, but you can always do it a little more gently, too. Instead of saying mandatory, you just say, well, if you can't make it then, how about if we get together in the next 3 months and I just say we meet in the middle or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Good.
Maybe imperative would be a good word.
Mm-hmm. Any other input on that or any other questions?
Dan, this is Linda Moore. Are there going to be guidelines for the cute little openers that they continue to make sure that they're, you know, geared to the unchurched and not churchy and things like that?
In the RST handbook, is that what you're talking about?
Once we tell the speakers that they change their little anecdotes and openings according to, you know, current things, can we give them some guidelines so that they don't mistakenly say or express something that we wouldn't approve because it'd be maybe too churchy or something?
Absolutely, and it would be the guidelines that are in the essential elements that they have already become, okay. You know, they've already gone through that process, so you would just remind them of that, to consult their essential elements and make sure that it still fits all the, that would be part of the training that you would give them, that when they switch out their anecdotes or their opening anecdote, if it's the opening one, that it still follows all of those guidelines that are in the essential elements that they used when they first put their talk together.
Okay.
All of that will be stressed, yes.
Oh, this is Chris Bastard in Michigan. I have a comment about how we advertise ourselves as speakers. We noticed that a lot of clubs now are wanting to put advertisements on Facebook or other social media things and put a little blurb about the speaker, and I think we have to be careful about the language we use, that we don't give people preconceived ideas as to, in particular, I'm thinking I'm an older speaker and we're trying to attract young women, and I think that if I put, you know, I'm retired, I have so many grandchildren, all of those things that refer to sort of age and over 55 kind of stigma, that it might make someone who's 25 think, I don't want to listen to this person, this has got nothing for me, this is for older women, this is not for me. So I think we have to make sure we stay away from wording that stereotypes us or gives people preconceived ideas about the person that's going to be speaking and the kind of message that she's going to be giving. I don't know if I'm making myself understood, but
absolutely.
You know, and one of the things too that, sorry, go ahead.
No, finish what you were saying.
Oh, it's not on the same subject really. It's just about the anecdotes. I think we've got to be really careful, because I've had speakers that have been difficult to keep to their talk and not go off down little rabbit trails of their own agendas. I can think of one in particular some years ago. And if they can put in little anecdotes, like somebody else said, we've got to make sure that they understand how they have to be phrased, and also that they're not going to run over their time because they have this great story they want to tell that, you know, may or may not add to the presentation.
Absolutely. All of this. Right. Yeah, go ahead, Pam.
Okay, I think that's why it's really important for us as trainers, as speaker trainers, to help them realize that we need to stay within our time frame, which is, once again, part of those four questions. And if something has been inserted, a story must be deleted, obviously. to stay within the time frame. And that, and also, I think it's important as a speaker trainer, I'm sure that you've heard, if not once, many times, the fact, but I want the Holy Spirit to lead my presentation, and maybe that's because a potential doesn't want to maybe write out their talk in its entirety. And I usually answer exactly, and I do that too. I definitely want to, the Holy Spirit to lead, but I want him to lead before I'm standing before the group. So even if it's something that happened yesterday, I can get those thoughts on paper so that I'm staying within my time frame and not going over.
Right.
Right. And I think part of the training will just be that you're not just willy-nilly picking things out of the air. You're just keeping your talk current with what God is doing in your life today. And that will need to be part of the training. It's still a planned talk. You're not just speaking off the cuff.
Well, right. I think we need to really emphasize to the chairs that that's what it is. It's a planned talk, and it takes 20 to 25 minutes, and not. It can't be shortened if you're running late or extended. Like one group told me, they had really lost the vision, I'm afraid, but they told me, we're not going anywhere. We just want to visit. You just talk as long as you want. You know? And then I've had other groups that have run 10, 15 minutes too long with the special feature and said, we've only got 15 minutes. Well, you know, that's not what was planned. And I know that's not a speaker thing, but it's a thing that the chairs need to know about the speakers. Because I think sometimes, and I think there's something coming up soon where everybody's going to be involved, because I think sometimes the chairs do not understand the speaker's perspective. And maybe the other way around too. I've been both, so it's helpful. But I think sometimes the chairs think we can kind of extend or squash as is necessary.
I think this is especially relevant during Christmas time, when chairs plan Christmas carols and all sorts of little extras that eat into the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, been there, done that.
Yeah, this is all part of the training that's going to be taking place across the board with every position on the planning team and for our speakers and other leaders. All of this training will be refreshed and brought home, and definitely we will be working training with chairs on this and our speakers both. So it's all getting addressed. Yeah.
While we're talking about chairs, could I just bring up something too that I have found often the communication with the chair is not that great and the directions are not that great. And maybe, you know, when you're training chairs, you're going to emphasize that, you know, the more communication, the better. And, you know, I've been given wrong addresses or addresses with no street address. One place I went to, I called the chair who wasn't available, wasn't coming to the meeting that night, and her husband told me it's by the dip in the road. I live in Michigan, and it was on the far side of the west side of Illinois. I don't know where the dip in the road is. So they need to be very specific and make absolutely sure that the speaker knows where they're going, you know. I'm sure we've all got stories we can tell.
Absolutely, and this is what we this is what will be the byproduct, I believe, of the greater communication between the chair and the speaker regarding the Bible studies. We do want to make it be much closer communication between the chair and the speaker, so that the speaker feels very much a part of that group where she is going to be speaking. So. Absolutely, we are going to be training both sides of that equation in the communication prior to the event.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
That's a key part in making, just a key part in the success of the event, actually.
Oh, absolutely. If the speaker doesn't show up, you're sort of sunk.
Right, yes, absolutely. we have about... we have about 5 minutes left. I want to make sure I we have time for prayer. But is there one more burning question from someone? If not, if you have a pencil handy, I'd like to give you my email address in case you don't have it. And if you have any questions that you think of afterwards, you can email them to me. As I said, the RST handbook is in draft form. We're working on it right now. So any input, questions about are we including something, are we not, whatever, I would just love to hear from you on that. My email is mayo, like mayonnaise, M-A-Y-O, Mathers, M-A-T-H-E-R-S. @gmail.com, and I'd love to hear from you. And now I'd just like to take a few minutes to pray. If any of you would like to pray, just go ahead, and we just have a couple of minutes, so just quick short prayers, and then I'll close us.
Lord Jesus, what a privilege it is to know you. We praise you for allowing us to share your gospel. Use us, Father, for the sake of your glory and for the sake of women who need Jesus. Thank you.
Father, I ask your blessing on each and every speaker consultant and regional speaker trainer on the call. Father God, equip and encourage them. Thank you so much for them, Lord.
Father, I thank you for every single woman who has taken the time to be on this call and for what they are doing to further your kingdom. Father, I just ask you to bless them. Bless them in their work for Stonecroft Ministries. Bless them in their relationship with their speakers and their regional speaker trainers. Father, just help us as we move forward with this training and implementing some of these new things, Lord. I just ask your blessing on it. And I especially thank you in advance, Lord, for the women whose lives are going to be changed forever because of our committed RSTs, SSTs, SSCs, and our speakers. Lord, thank you so much. We love you. We give you praise. And thank you, Lord. In thy name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for being on the call. We are going to have this call again at tonight at 5 Pacific Daylight Time. If someone you know has not been able to join, you can tell them to get on this call. But thank you so much for taking your time. We so appreciate every single one of you. Thank you. Thank you for everything we do. And we will talk to you later. See ya.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.